Good morning to you, and I welcome you, and especially delighted to have Mr. and Mrs. Donald Muthler. Muthler. I have it right, don't I? Muthler. He's from, Lock Haven, Linden, or Avis area, and he brought me a load of wood. And I'm so grateful. I didn't expect it, and we use wood as a supplement to the heat here, and I needed wood. It was almost a place where I had to go do something about it, and here I get a load of wood. Already cut just the perfect size, by the way. Everything fits. I'm appreciative, Donald. Nice to have you. And now with the other announcements, I want to announce to you that tonight we're expecting Brother Raymond Rook from Milton to minister to us on the subject, again, a continued study of the book of Job. Wednesday night, we have our Bible study, and I want to continue our study of Colossians, especially the virtue of putting on love. We want to consider this morning Christ our model for forgiveness, as it is found in the book of Colossians, the third chapter. And by the way, if you see Rachel Moser Patterson, she has a birthday on Wednesday. She'll be around. She comes around Thanksgiving time, especially if you see Rachel. Congratulate her for her birthday. She's my first granddaughter, and she's a delight to my heart. Now, I do want to announce that on Wednesday, the 26th of November, the night before Thanksgiving, we do have a Thanksgiving service. I invite you to come, and not only the fact of your Lord giving us so many good things, but that we'd be grateful to the Lord for His blessings to us. 7 o'clock on Wednesday, the 26th. Thursday is the Thanksgiving, the 27th. And so may I bring you up to date on a couple of letters that come from our ministry to prisoners. Basically, communication with Brother Rick Waltz writing to these different gentlemen in prison. Some really delight. And I thought I'd just give you a few statements concerning a couple of these brothers at the prison over near Shikshini. I think that it's good for you to hear some of these letters. So let me take the time to read a couple of statements concerning letters from prisoners. This one is from Ishmael Woodard. He's kind of the elder for the prisoners over there. And he said that he particularly liked the song by Steve Green, "People Need the Lord." And he heard concerning Brother Joel Serapala's, Brother Rick sends him tapes, and he listens to the tapes. In fact, we sent him a hymnal when we announced a hymnal, and it would "Please Stand." And he says, "I get up and stand and sing with it." He said, "You know, I love the opportunity to meet Brother Joel Serapala. He's a missionary to India and hear firsthand of the trials and challenges in spreading the gospel in foreign lands. I have not up to this point prayed for the continued safety and success of Brother Joel's endeavors in missions, but I will now begin and join with those who do intercede on his behalf." We will leave you on Brother Adam Gamble's visiting list. He and Dan Christensen and I have been having some good fellowship together in the prison yard. And so when I met Brother Dan in the yard this morning, the only time I have to get there, he mentioned that he had received the course material from Family Radio Bible, the Bible Radio School of the Bible. His first assignment begins with Gospel of Mark, chapters 1 through 8. And I've been discussing the doctrines of grace with him, and as he has been made to believe, unbeknownst to him, that the heresy of Arminianism. I believe the Lord is beginning to open his eyes to the human conditions of being totally depraved prior to regeneration and salvation. So before we parted, we had respective blocks. He jotted down a number of passages that I gave him regarding the doctrines of grace, and he is using Matthew Henry's commentary, which I think is okay. By the way, he also asked me that if I had mailed his testimony to you. I guess he is anxious to hear from you, Brother Rick. how can I express my joy over Brother Jerome's achievements? Man, it will be good to see him again. I can see us now talking for hours upon hours of the grace and the mercy and the blessing of God. May God our Father continue to bless him richly. I close for now. I need to prepare for this evening introduction to business class. I have just 5 more classes before the end of the summer. And oh, what a great job on the photograph. I think that's the one over there. He says, thanks, at Ish. And then, you know, I've been talking about Adam Gamble. Adam has he's written 4 full pages like this, and I'll not read them all to you, but Adam Gamble is now on Lebanon. That's where I mentioned to you my granddaughter, Rachel. She lives in Lebanon also, and I've also tried to make connections. But he is at the halfway house called Jubilee Ministries now. He left prison, served his term, paid the price, and he's down there at Lebanon at Jubilee Ministries. And he said, in closing, well, not really, but he says, praise the Lord of lords, Jesus Christ. And I like this chap. While I was at the work today, the deputy warden called me and he's off to his office. And everyone's worked the hard work on my behalf has paid off. And at the retreat, will be letting me go to the Jubilee Ministries. Amen, he says. Even the warden did not understand why I kept getting denied there. I explained to him everything that transpired before we got involved, and he seemed upset that his employees were doing this to me. I withdrew my grievance because it has been settled, though the warden and I both know that if I continue to pursue my complaint, someone would get chewed out. We're talking about forgiveness, and this goes along with forgiveness. He said, also, please thank Pastor Robbins for his prayers for me. As for the print of the picture of us, it's great. I love it. I'm close to my cellmate. He's a Christian. That's another blessing. So now he has faces to go along with all that I have told him about you and Pastor Robbins and our correspondence. It is beautiful that Nathaniel and Hannah enjoyed camp and school. It seems that you, through God, have distilled great and godly values upon your children, and ice cream cake sounds great. Do they have Carvels near you? Well, in my case, I love ice cream, and to celebrate a birthday and an arrival date every year with ice cream sounds good to me. Well, the rain has been every day here at the retreat. Not too hot, not too cold, and I think that it's perfect weather for a garden. I'm excited about one day having a garden. Just the necessities for one of these days is prevalent. I used to help can and harvest from my ex-grandmother-in-law. She taught me a little about planting, and I'm sure I will learn more by trial and error. When the employees want to have a picnic together at the boss's house, that says a lot about the boss. Glory to God, I myself, I love barbecue. Winter, spring, and summer. Winter, spring, and summer, he likes barbecue. Anytime's a good time to cook on the grill. And, quote, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose in Romans 8:28. Amen, he says. No sufferings that I go through can compare to the saving grace I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a lovely feeling to live the life for God and not for yourself. You and your family, Pastor Robbins, as well as other things, are always in my prayers. Your brother in Christ, Adam Gamble. You're going to pray for Adam, aren't you? He's the one standing next to me on the picture there. These brethren do need to be prayed for. Now let's enter into worship. Let's sing the hymn, Let We Gather Together. It's 286. That hymn, Here, O My Lord, I See Thee Face to Face, 310. please stand with me as I read the Word of God and have a word of prayer. I'm reading to that section in Colossians which tells us, if we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, well, there are some things that we need to put off. There are other things we need to put on. I'm reading those things we need to put on if we know Christ as Savior. Think of taking off old clothes and putting on new clothes. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. And if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. This being the word of God, let us pray. Our Father, it is a privilege this morning to come into your presence, a place of worship. We desire that we might have your blessing upon us, that you would be lifted up and you would be honored and you would be pleased with our time together of praising and singing and reading the scripture and expounding it and being together. And our Father, we ask that as we look at these precious truths in the Word that you have given to us, that which is your very breath, the Word of God, that we might be able to grasp and understand them, and that they may be that they may be used in our lives. Our Father, we know that we need spiritual food. You have blessed us in so many ways with physical food. We need spiritual food for our souls, the bread of life, even the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do also need to have, that which is satisfies the thirst of the soul, that is the Lord Jesus, the water, the precious water, and the truth that he has. And we ask this morning that as we look together and as we worship together, that we might have that which will please you. May our fellowship be that of this morning. May we be strengthened, may we be encouraged, and may we, above all, know our blessed Lord savingly and have forgiveness of sins and to enjoy not only your presence here, but eternity. In his precious name, who loved us, gave his life for us on the cross, and died and was buried and rose again, and sits at your right hand in the place of honor, making intercession for us and coming back to judge the quick and the dead. In his name, amen. Please be seated. I'd like to sing another hymn before we study. I'm not going to sing two hymns, but just another hymn. I want us to sing that we're strangers here. That's number 695. I am a stranger here.
Repent and turn away from
Well, I've changed my mind. I see the clock gives me a couple more minutes before it's time to preach. I want us to turn, Brother Bob. Change my mind. Arise, my soul, arise. It's 223. Our souls need to arise, brethren. We've been busy this week, and we need to have our souls arise. 223. Yes, please be seated. Let's find the book of Colossians, chapter 3, the book of Colossians. This book was written to a small church, I believe a house church like ours years ago. The Spirit of God saw pleased to have the Apostle Paul, who was in prison for the cause of Christ, and to write to this small church, for they had some problems. Most churches have problems, and this church was having their problems. Basically, their problems was with legalism. There's people saying, hey, you got to do this if you're going to be saved, and got to keep the Old Testament ceremonies and so forth. And not only that, there were people who were philosophers, and they were saying, it's all right to know Christ, but you guys need to know this different particular philosophy if you really want to be a strong Christian. And Paul's writing to him and say, listen, that's just not true. Christ is complete, and he satisfies, he forgives, and his presence will bless you. And now we come to that section where he says, listen, as Christians, you ought to be identified. You ought to be able to tell that you're Christians. And as my wife and I were in a hospital this week visiting, we saw that the practical nurses all had uniforms at Danville, but the nurses run around without, you don't know exactly who they are. But there are uniforms. People have uniforms. And the Christians have a uniform. And these virtues I read to you here in passage chapter 3, verses 10 through 15, these are the identifying uniforms of a Christian. They're virtues. And we come now to verse 13. Which is we're to put on this matter of forbearance and forgiveness, and we're to deal with wrongs and complaints, and our model is our Lord Jesus Christ. I think that's good. You know, when you see that this matter of forbearance, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, and if any man have a grudge against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And that means let Christ be your model if you're having some problems. The churches have problems. I don't like to tell that anymore than I have to, but it's true. I think that the matter of looking at this subject this morning is important. The Lord speaks a lot about forgiveness in the Word. This first word, forbearing, in verse 13, that's quite an interesting word, forbearing. It has the idea that we just kind of back down. And that when something that annoys you of another person, put up with it. There are certain tolerances that we're to be as Christians. Except the personality difference that we have. I look different, you look different. You say things differently than the way I say it. You do things differently than I do in my house. And you say, well, I wasn't brought up that way. Who says your way is the right way? Some of us were brought up in strong German backgrounds. And I'm finding culture doesn't necessarily like our way of doing some things. But we think, well, we're right and all the rest of the world's wrong. You know, I was seeing how that that there is a study having to do with body emotions as far as people. And it's true. I studied it, too, in psychology. I don't know whether it's a true science or not, but the way we do things indicates a lot of times what we are. For instance, if you're not careful in studying other countries, you can bring about some problems. In the Middle East, the one who goes in the door first is subservient. What do you mean? In America, we open the door and say, open the door and they say, thank you. And that shows the politeness of letting somebody else go ahead. Not in the Middle East. In the Middle East, the first one to go in is subservient. He is the inferior. So here's two big men. And they come to a door in their culture. Now who goes in first? Sometimes at the door they stand and they say, you know, they go through all kinds of emotions. Yeah. It's body language. And we have it. This matter of forbearance, we need to be patient with one another. I don't know whether you recognize it or not, but you can get rubbed the wrong way pretty easily in this society. In sales, they also tell us about body language. Those of us who have been in sales, we were taught some things about body language. Yeah, we were. We had seminars and being taught how to do certain things. There's a proper way. There's over-aggressiveness, and there's a kind of standing back and rubbing your hands and doing certain things. And that's not the way to do it. There's a certain way of going about it. This matter of forbearing, there's certain ways to go about it as far as a Christian. And the way to go about it is I have to accept some of your qualms, some of your things. You got to accept some of mine. See, well, I don't like it. Doesn't make any difference. As a Christian, you put on a uniform and you identify that you're a person that can put up with things. Well, you see the that matter of saying it's got to be my way or the highway. It's my way. No, friends, it's the Word of God. When I was young, I worked for a man, and he was elderly, and he got up in years like I'm beginning to see now how it is, and he slowed down. And I'm a young fellow, I'm third grade, and I want to go, and I want the tractor to go. I want to get rid of those horses. And so it came to a time where I had to say, well, he said, I can't help you. I can't be out there anymore. Johnson working like we have been, and Hugo held my son. Well, his son and I didn't get along real well. He was a school teacher, but I put up with it, and he put up with me, I guess. One day he said, I want to be a judge, a poultry judge. I wasn't interested in poultry, but he had all kinds of fancy chickens, purebred chickens around the place, and I had to water them and feed them. And they did look pretty, many of them did. He said, I want to be a judge. And he said, I wonder if you'd help me. Well, if it meant I didn't have to go out and clean chicken houses, I guess it'd be better to help him. So he has a standard book. I still have it. I laid it on the desk. Was going to bring it down and show it to you, but I left it lay up there on the desk at the bureau. Standard of perfection, that big. All the different kinds of chickens. Oh, what? Well, if you're going to get first place, you have to have certain qualities of each of these characteristics. Size and wattles and all that. Standard of perfection. Now listen, you say, well, it's your idea, my idea. No, it's the Lord Jesus. He's our model. He's our standard of perfection. Not you, not me. We're supposed to represent him. We need to work at it. By the way, I haven't seen anybody walk in water yet. So don't give me the idea that you're perfect either. This matter of, it says, all right, our blessed Lord, as far as it says there, even as Christ forgave you, he's the word even, has the idea, remember, it's Christ. You say you're a Christian, a Christ one, yes. Then you need to act like Christ. And as Christ was forgiving, so must you be forgiving, and you must be forbearing. He was forbearing. He put up with a lot. How they treated him. They despised him. For what cause? What did he do that he deserved such treatment? And you'll find as you walk in this life that there'll be times where people will say things to you and do things to you and you'll say, boy, that hurts. That hurts. But you need to accept. There's an area in forgiveness that, is an area that it tolerates. Maybe you didn't have your devotions this morning. Maybe you haven't read your Bible. Maybe you haven't prayed. Maybe you got a headache. Whatever. I don't know what it might be, but you said something, it was wrong, and you hurt somebody and say, well, just put it down. That brother hasn't been talking to the Lord lately. That sister hasn't been walking close to the Lord. And you get out, you get sidetracked, you get like the world and culturally act like a worldling when you ought to be acting like a Christian, a Christ one. And so these words are kind of, they're positive, I know. He said we're to have forbearance. That's a positive virtue, forbearing things. There are a lot of annoyances. It says above all, he didn't use revenge. That's a good word for us, to be non-resistant. I'll wait till I go get my shotgun. You treat me like that, I'll give you my shotgun at the other end. No, that's not a Christian character. That's not putting on a uniform of a Christian or slug it out or chew them out up and down. No. It said, put on this characteristic of forbearance. But not only that, it's forgiveness. Verse 13, forgiving one another. That word forgiveness is an interesting word. That word really means, and it's about 156 times found in the Word of God, it has the idea to send away. To send sin away. Forgiveness, to send it away. It has the idea to remove all the guilt and consequences of it. It's all sent away. Send it away. Forgiven. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we ask the Lord to forgive our debts as we forgive our debtors. Debts. What debts? Forgive my debts. What debts? That word debt has to do with that the Lord requires perfect obedience. He requires, he demands perfect obedience. How are you doing? I don't know. Well, forgive our debts, asking Lord, we're to forgive our debtors, and he has forgiven us. If we do not forgive others, he will not forgive us. He has forgiven us our debts through Christ's death at the cross. He took our place. He paid our price. He paid for our sin. He paid the debt. Jesus paid it all. And you realize that you wouldn't make it. We all fall short of the glory of God. That's what the word scripture means. The scripture means he's falling short. Okay, let's go out here. You guys can shoot. Let's shoot. Okay, put up a target, all right? Start shooting at that target, will you? All right, so. Can you hit the bullseye every time? Hit the bullseye? Take a pretty good man to do that. Even hot shots get off a little bit. And some brethren, we can't. We miss the mark because we're sinners. We've been born with a sin nature. And we don't hit the mark. We don't please God. God said, that's my standard. Perfection. You're to obey me. And I say, well, Lord, I screw up. He said, that's right. But the Lord Jesus is your model. He paid the price for your sins. He paid the debt. Now then, let's treat others. Because if you've been forgiven your debt, let's treat others as they do things to harm you and say things. There is to be a spirit of forgiveness. You know, that word forgiving in verse 3 is in the present tense in the Greek. And you say, I don't care about that, but I tell you what it means. It has the idea of continuous. 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 The Bible talks about 7 times 70, something like that, doesn't it? And we're to forgive. Continuously forgiving. Hey, he did me wrong, I don't know how many times. Continually forgiving. I got a letter some time ago and said, I apologize for treating you in the store. You're not going to get the name. Some of you do know. Listen, will you forgive me? Well, I had already forgiven him in my heart. You really mean that? Yeah. What do you mean you have already forgiven people? See, I say, well, I know how he is. I know how he responds. I know so-and-so. I know how you respond. And sometimes you don't respond very kindly, so I say in my heart, well, hey, I'm not going to hold it against him. Your heart sometimes forgives. I'm of the opinion, though, that if there's not repentance, there's not forgiveness. Whoa. I know a place where the Lord said, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. I don't think, preacher, you got it right. If you're saying that there's no forgiveness without repentance, then that contradicts what the Lord Jesus. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. He was asking the Lord to forgive them for crucifying him. And I believe that it wasn't for everybody. And I believe that the day of Pentecost, many of those who crucified the Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saved at Pentecost. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But generally, the Bible teaches that if you don't repent of your sins, you're not going to be saved. I mean, the Bible teaches that repent. Repentance. Some people say, well, you say it's in a continuous sense. Oh, yeah. Well, I said, dear Lord, save me. I'm a lost sinner. I haven't been what I ought to be, and Christ died that I might have an everlasting life. And I ask him to come into my life, and I'm sorry that I have not obeyed you, and I've broken the commandments in thought, word, and deed. You know, that reminds me of Martin Luther. And Martin Luther used to have problems with the enemy attacking him. You know why, don't you? He stood for that great truth, justification by faith and not by works. And he was in a church that was works to get to heaven. And Luther tells this incident. He said, you know, the Lord was came and he said, he began to make accusations against me. See, well, how did this happen? How do I know? I wasn't there. Luther said, this is what the devil did. He came and was making accusations against me. And he said, oh, well, old devil, if you're going to do it, you might as well bring all them out. Come on, bring the list out. And Luther says he brought out a big list. And every one of these things that Luther did before he was saved was guilt. It was worthy of death. And so the devil, he would read these lists off about Luther and all these thoughts and word and deed. Got all through. Devil looked at him as Luther said, well, is that all there are? No, he said, you got more. He went back and got another list, and he read the whole things about Luther. Now, don't feel that you're so wonderful. The devil could do that to both of us. And he'd show you how wonderful you are, friend, before Christ. And how you've sinned against God. You've missed his mark. And the debt was that you hit that mark every time, full obedience, and you've not done it, and nor have I, for we've all sinned to come short of the glory of God. What are we going to do? So he got the second list, and Luther said, well, is that all? And he said, no. He said, I got another. He got another list, and he read them. Is that it? Yeah. He said, well, get a pen, will you, and a piece of paper. Told the devil. He said, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses me from all sin. Christ's death at the cross of Calvary is the solution for our sins, brethren. And I want to tell you something else. The Bible says that as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. You might want to look at that passage, because someday you may say, you know, I just can't help. I have this problem in the past. It's Psalm 103. I just seem like this old thing just keeps cropping up, and I don't know what to do about it. It's bothering me. I'm losing sleep over it, and I know that I've been wrong, and I don't see how the Lord could save me and all that. And so you go complain about the whole matter. You need to hear Psalm 103. Yes. Look at verse 12. Why? Well, something about this forgiveness of the Lord. That's a great passage by the Psalm 103. Man, if you get discouraged, you ought to read that once in a while. But at verse 10, I get the context. Verse 10, the psalmist said that he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Now, watch this 12th verse. Mm-hmm. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now, tell me, you that are scientifically minded, you figure that one out and talk to me about it. How far is the east from the west? I know if I go to the north, it's amazing about the Word of God, it's God's very breath. I think I'd go to the North Pole. Boom. That's a place they could stop at. He didn't say then from north to south. He said from east to west. What about east to west? West. It says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he moved our transgressions from us. And you that are scientific, you figure that one out and explain to me what it means. That's a tremendous statement. And so he can bring up all the sins he wants to, old devil. I tell you, God has removed our sins as far as the east is from the west. His mercy is great. Well, dear friends, you know, it's easy for somebody to break loose and fly at us. The Bible says, forbear, walk away. Turn the other cheek. Because he endured the cross and he despised his shame. I think perhaps on the way back to Colossians, we ought to stop off in Matthew 18. Want to travel back? Just have to stop off in Matthew, the first gospel, and look at 18. in case you get the idea, well, I don't know all about this. Seems to me that's pretty extravagant. Would you look at the 18th chapter? Would you stop down there a little bit for verse 22? In the context, Peter, verse 21, then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Woo-hoo! Hey, he did me wrong. And you're still holding a grudge. I think we need to learn some things. Boy, I tell you, when I think about him or her, I just, down deep I burn. Well, you're not putting on a uniform of a Christian. Don't go bragging that you know the Lord if you're holding a grudge, because that's what it says here in the very next. It says you were to forgive one another, each other. And by the way, I must tell you again, the context is with a church, a local church. Now, a local church, you have to have forbearance and forgiveness. It's a continuous thing. You have to have it in the society where you work. Sure you do. But it says here, what are you going to do about it? If the last part of verse 13, I'm back in Colossians now again, friends. What are you going to do with that last part of verse 13? Next to the last part. It says, whoever has a quarrel, have a quarrel against somebody. What's a quarrel? Well, it's a complaint. It's a grievance. It's a real difference between us. Or you've been offended. What's the matter with this, Bob? You want to go take care of that thing? It's whistling. I don't know what's the matter with it. Thank you, Bob, for doing that. It's somebody that does you wrong. It's a quarrel. And it's a complaint. A provocation. Somebody has provoked you. If any man, and I'm talking again in a church, just in case you think we're just talking about outsiders. Whoever has a grievance against someone that does you wrong. It says here that you're not to have retaliation, because it says Christ didn't. He's your model, the last part of that verse. There's no retaliation to be taken. It needs to be forgiven. You know, it's amazing. Christianity has a lot to do about forgiveness. And yet Christian forgiveness seems to be some kind of an area that I don't know what we're supposed to do. What do you mean you don't know what we're supposed to do? You know, the Bible says that if you have done something to me and I know about it, I'm supposed to go to you and you're supposed to come to me. This way and this way. And we're supposed to meet out here. Well, I'm not going to say anything. Well, if it's just a petty thing, let it go. But if it's really something that is really bad, then you can tell that what you have tolerance with and those things that are really bad. You say, hey, look it. I need to go to him and tell him that he's wrong. And if I feel that strongly, if I'm this person here, and I feel that strongly about a person, and the information I heard, and I'm saying to so-and-so, you know, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so has done this. No, you're supposed to come to the person. You're supposed to go. It's two ways. Some of you like one-way streets. Well, the Bible has two-way. You're supposed to go and say, listen, that's really wicked to say such things about it. It's not a bit true. And he says, and the other person is going to say, I'm going to go see him because that's hurting testimony of Christ. And so you meet together and you try to resolve this sentence. It's not true, and I tell you why it's not true. And you talk. That's wrong. That's Matthew 18, in case you think I'm making something up. Matthew 18, the Lord says, this is the way it's supposed to be done when you have problems with one another. Probably ought to take time to look at that passage this morning, because some people don't even know what to do. I've been accused, I've been slandered, I mean, they almost wiped me out, maybe even lost my job over what this person said. What am I supposed to do? You're supposed to go to that person and say, listen, this is the facts. And if you've done it, you say, I'm sorry, I'm guilty. You know, and if that won't work, it says, go get somebody and take them with you. What? Go get somebody and take them with you as a witness. And now you and your buddy, you go, and you go to this man and say, now listen, I wanted to make it clear, this is my side of the story, and I'm telling you how it is. And the witness hears it. And the witness says, well, as far as I know, that's exactly right. The man says, well, you guys can forget it. I still believe that he is wrong and he's done this bad thing. And so it's okay. Probably ought to turn there, because today's church knows nothing about Matthew 18. It's so obsolete and out of date. They say, this isn't something, this is what the Lord Jesus said we're to do. Not some preacher. He said, well, okay. You know, we had this about Peter there, I read to you in the 18th chapter about verse 22. Remember the 18th chapter, Matthew? Now, look at verse 15, would you? I'm in Matthew 18 and verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee. Okay? That's, he crossed the border, he's over, he's done you wrong. You go and tell him his fault. Now that's between thee and him alone. Don't tell a whole everybody. You go deal with it alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained of thy brother. And that isn't hard to understand. But yet we won't do that. All right, verse 16. It wasn't solved. Okay. But he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if you neglect to hear them, now here's what you need to do. You tell on the church, but if you neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you that whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now friends, if we did that with every little bit of problem, he didn't say good morning to me. Little petty things. He didn't even acknowledge me. We're going down the road and he said, here, I see him come in the car and I'm coming the other way. He looked right. Hey, it could be the eyes too. It might be thinking about some very serious situations. No, there's tolerance. There's petty stuff. Oh, but when it comes to slander and killing a person, then these things need to be taken care of. That's Matthew 18. Now, don't say you never heard that. But the bottom line is verse 13 of Colossians 3. What is it? The bottom line. All right, I want the bottom line. The bottom line is, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That's the bottom line. We're to forgive. And we're to forgive that person because the Lord forgave you. He saved you. He took your sins at the cross of Calvary. He's given you his Holy Spirit to dwell in your bodies. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Spirit of God? He blessed you in so many ways. And not only that, the Lord Jesus, when he forgives totally and completely, no strings attached. Don't you like it when there's a string attached? That's the fine print. There's no fine print about it. You know Christ, you're completely and totally saved for eternity. Today, yesterday, today, and forever, my sins are forgiven. Oh, be careful now. Don't get that and say, well, then I can sin what I want to. No, not if you have the uniform of a Christian. No, 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 no. Christians aren't that way. They abhor sin. And they repent of it. And they confess their sins, and God is faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. But that isn't a present tense. That is something that needs to be done again and again, because we sin in thought, word, and deed. It's the old nature. We're a new man in Christ. We're new creatures, but we still have the old nature. And you won't be perfected until you're glorified. Our motivation, friends, is the last part of verse 13. It's Christ. Regardless of actions and attitudes, you remember how Christ forgave you. Also do ye. So also do ye. You must. You must, if you are a Christian, a Christ one, you must forgive, forbear. And if anybody has a quarrel, a grievance, or a complaint, don't take retaliation, but you take the steps back and say, I'm sorry, and ask for forgiveness. Forgive that person. You know, sometimes it has to be unilateral, a one-way street. I go to him. I go to her. See, my heart said, I need to settle that thing. You know, years ago, we had a coal stoker, and coal was getting kind of high, and money's a little short. So I had this truck, and I said, you know, down below Sealance Grove, you can buy river coal. I think I'll go down and get a load of it. Now, this ages you, because some of you young folk don't even know what I'm talking about. But Raymond Rook could tell you, because his dad used to make those things. What's river coal? It's coal that comes down from Wilkes-Barre, and coal's lighter than stones, and it just rolls all the way down. And there used to be a lot of it down around where the two rivers meet together, Northumberland and Sunbury. And they made these machines go, and it would go down to the bottom of the river and come up, and coal would float, and you could buy this river coal. It was funny things. If you used to buy regular coal, it's kind of, the edges are kind of sharp and so forth, but river coal is round. Round. The first thing you notice, it's all kind of round. You know why it's round? Because it came all the way down from Wilkes-Barre. God is polishing you and me. We've got some rough edges. Take it easy, won't you, on one another? Just because that brother has some rough edges, that sister has some rough edges, God is working things out. God's polishing us up. So I don't like being polished up. Well, they do it for precious gems, and you appreciate precious gems and see how beautiful it is. How beautiful. The Lord's working in our hearts. Let us be forbearing, forgiving, and if we have quarrels, let's look to the model. That's our Lord Jesus Christ in forgiveness. Oh, what a Savior. On that cross, yes, he completely, totally. The greatest act in history. You history buffs, I'll tell you the greatest act in history. It is Christ crucified for sinners. And to know him is to have life eternal and forgiveness of sins. Certainly a wonderful Savior. I tell you, friends, see, if you don't know the Lord, I ask you to consider seriously. You're not going to make it, for he's the only way to heaven. He said, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's no other way, no other way. He's the only way. But till that time, there is a hymn that we need to, as Christians, to sing once in a while. And that is, we get together, you know, and we have some funny ideas about each other, but that hymn that tells us that we're to bless the, ask the Lord to bless the tie that binds us, it's 285. And I ask you the question, do you know Christ, the wonderful Savior? Do you see that we're lost and you're lost? Do you see that if you miss Christ, you miss everything? And so may you be genuine about your desire to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus. That you open your heart, turn from your sins and trust Him. Repent and believe. The Lord Jesus Christ. And now, the Lord bless thee and keep thee, and the Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee, and the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace through Christ. Amen. Please be seated. It is our custom that after we have had the benediction and the postlude, that we have any comments or questions or anything that you would like to add that perhaps has come to your attention as in this service. And so we invite your any observation or comment that you might have. If you disagree, well, we'll have to get together and work that out too. Yes.
In the meantime, we're overlooking all our own quirks.
Yes. We don't like it when our wives or our husbands tell us certain things, but, you know, we better listen. They're kids, you know, and they live with us. We ought to give them at least an ear. They could be wrong, though, but we have plenty of quirks. But I just love that verse where Christ, the more you know about Christ, the stronger Christian you will be. And so that's why we invite you to spend time studying together the Word of God. All right. Amen. The Lord bless you.